So next, the stages of how to train the mind once you have relied upon a teacher. So first, again, the basis of leisure and exhortation to take its essence. Second, how to take the essence. First one has further three divisions, identification of the leisures and endowments. So the leisure has to be understood in terms of the freedom from the eight unfree states. And the endowments has to be understood in terms of freedom from the five endowments has to be understood in terms of the 10 different endowments, 5 personal endowments, and the five endowments conditioned by others. So if you reflect this way, if it has been the case that we have taken birth now as one of the three unfortunate realms, like hell realm beings, animal realm beings, or hungry ghost realm beings, so there is no actual way to practice Buddha Dharma. So because when you're inflicted with a severe pain, it is impossible that you can ever be mindful or you can ever have a desire for the Dharma practice. So if you think about the animals, so those, even those more intelligent animals, even for them, it is impossible that they can really develop or meditate on the marvelous virtuous attitudes like the wisdom of emptiness, bodhicitta, great compassion, and so forth, which are actually based on the different reasonings and logics and so forth. And although they have a sense of compassion, sense of love and so forth among themselves, depending on the kind of the underlying motives, underlying intentions as attachment and aversion and so forth. And similarly, if we have taken birth in such an era which is called the dark era, where there is actually no access to Buddha Dharma. So, again, there is no possibility that we can have access, we can practice Buddha Dharma. And even if we have taken birth in the time of the era of light, so if you reflect this way, that having taken birth in such an era of light, fortunate era, and particularly and more so, we have taken birth in the era where the Buddha Shakyamuni had emerged. But even if these are the reality or that really happened, but if you have taken birth in a place very much kind of secluded, very much discarded, very much separated from this very place where the Dharma is prevalent, again, we won't have access to the Buddha Dharma. Again, for example, if we think of ourselves taking birth in such a conducive factors, and yet if you have gone abnormal in terms of abnormality in terms of your senses, if you are blind, how can you possibly read the different scriptures? If you are kind of deaf, how can you possibly hear Dharma? So again, these are the limitations that can prevent someone from embracing the Buddha Dharma. And again, say you are in such a conducive condition, and also you have all these different senses intact. And yet, if you are taking birth in such a place or such a environment whereby you become a kind of agnostic, someone who is not at all in favor of Buddha Dharma, again, how can one possibly practice Buddha Dharma? So, if you reflect from all these points of view, then we can really see how precious this human birth, this very precious the birth of human birth of leisure is. So mainly is the human birth with the lashes, the proper lashes. So as such, if you really reflect on these points, then we can see that having obtained such a marvelous human body with the 18 characteristics of lashes and diamonds, so you really should be feeling so fortunate, should be feeling so delighted over having obtained that. So then having obtained such a marvelous human body with lashes and endowments, so actually what you ought to do is to make the best use of this precious human birth by actually using your intelligence to bring about the transformation by really working out with your intelligence, by employing the different reasons, logics, and so forth to bring about transformation in your own mind. So that is how one makes the best use of this precious human birth endowed with the 18 characteristics of lashes and endowments. So let me read the text. In summary, it says, through rules, the entity of the many worlds of animals and 8 unfree states are renounced, thus lesha won forever. Accordingly, the leshas consist in freedom from 8 unfree states. The 8 unfree states are living in a border remote country where the 4 types of followers of the Buddha do not roam, being stupid or dumb and having incomplete faculties, missing a limb and ear, etc., holding wrong views that regard past and future lives, actions and the effects, and the 3 jewels as non-existent, and fourth, being without the word of a conqueror, with no Buddha having appeared in the world, are the 4 unfree states of humans. The 3 bad migrations and being a long-lived god are the non-human unfree states. As for the long-lived gods, the commentary on the letter to a friend discusses 2 types, a discriminationless ones and formless ones. The former lives in one region of the 4th concentration, great result, as if in a solitary place far away from a village. The latter are ordinary beings born in the former realm. In discourse on the 8 unfree states, gods of the desired realm, who are constantly distracted by activities of desire, are explained to be long-lived gods. Endowments. The second one has 2 points, of which the 5 personal endowments are said to be human nature, birth in a central region, complete faculties, no extremely perverted deeds, and faith in the foundation. Here, birth in a central region is to be born in a place where the 4-fold followers roam. Complete faculties consists in not being stupid and dumb and having complete limbs, minor body parts, eyes, ears, and so forth. No extremely perverted deeds implies not even committed or caused to commit an action of immediate retribution. Faith in the foundation is faith in the foundation from which all the mundane and supramundane white dharmas are born. Discipline. Here, discipline should be applied to all 3 collections of scriptures. As those 5 are brought together, one's own mental continuum and constitute circumstances for the accomplishment of the Dharma, they are called personal endowments. The 5 endowments conditioned by others. The 5 endowments conditioned by others are said to be the arrival of a Buddha, the holy Dharma having been taught, the teachings abiding in being followed, as well as hearts of mercy for others. Here, the arrival of the Buddha means that after accumulating the collections of 3 countless eons, he manifestly attained complete Buddhahood. The holy Dharma, having been taught, means that a Buddha or his hearers have taught the Dharma. the Dharma teachings abiding means that Dharma that is accomplished by means of actualizing the Dharma of the ultimate from the Buddha and the Dharma teachings up to not passing into Nirvana have not degenerated. The Dharma teachings that abide being followed means that through that very realization of the Dharma, there is an awareness that beings have the power to directly perceive the holy Dharma, and then there are those who follow the teachings in accordance with that realization. A heart of mercy for others means that there are alms givers and benefactors who grant monastic robes and the like. As these five are present in the mental continua of others and constitute circumstances for the accomplishment of the Dharma, they are called endowments conditioned by others. Next topic, considering the great value of this precious human birth. So since that the Buddha Dharma is to be accomplished by way of employing the intelligence, as such, this precious human birth has a tremendous capacity to think and reflect. If complemented by such a powerful wisdom or intelligence, then we can see the possibility of generating such a powerful, overflowing, indefinite, and infinitely great power of altruism, the desire to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. So in order to really generate this desire to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, you should know, first of all, you should understand what exactly this enlightenment is. And in order to know that, you have to know what is the concept of the emptiness or the selflessness of this mind. If you understand that, then you can we can understand as to how this mistaken mind, the self-grasping mind, can be eradicated altogether. So this very emptiness nature, the ultimate reality of the mind, our mind at the time it is defiled, this mind is defiled, would be categorized as the natural Buddha nature. So if you can really reflect, so we see that that very potential that we, that our mind possess, the capacity to really be turned or transformed into a full blossom state of the Buddha, the Buddha. So all these understandings need to be derived through employing the marvelous intelligence. So even without discriminating between the different the different levels of the self-grasping, so first say we understand the selflessness of person. Through that we understand, we identify how the self-grasping, which apprehends the self-nature of things and events, is. So after that, then you understand even the subtler level of selflessness, that is the selflessness in terms of the selflessness in terms of lacking true existence. Through understanding all these things, then you can see the possibility of achieving the ultimate reality of the mind become manifest, and then turning into or transforming into a Buddha. So all these series of understandings, they are to be derived through having possession a marvelous wisdom, a proper wisdom. So we see that, so actually this kind of wisdom is there if somebody has achieved such a precious human birth. So as such, we can really see how precious this human birth is. This human birth is the human birth which is endowed with the 18 characteristics of the leisure and endowments. So in short, We can think of all those great masters, from Nagarjuna to Lama Tsongkhapa, and even in China, those great masters like Tang Sangpa and so forth. So, if you think of them, the kind of the body that they've obtained is no different from what we have obtained. So we can really reflect as to how these great masters like Nagarjuna were successful in achieving such a highly realized states of Buddhahood and so forth by way of employing this, by using this physical body. So likewise, we also have obtained this marvelous human body, and why not? We also can utilize this human, precious human body and the precious human intelligence, and thereby traverse through the various paths and eventually achieve a high state of enlightenment, just like the way those great masters, like Nagarjuna and so forth, have achieved. So let me read the text. Considering the great value, second, if no practice or of the completely pure Dharma for the sake of lasting happiness comes about at all, you are like an animal despite your birth in a higher realm. Since animals also endeavor merely to attain happiness and eliminate suffering until they die, how about if leisure and endowments is the best? For the accomplishment of the Mahayana path, a base like the one explained earlier is necessary. In the letter to a disciple, it says, the base of the path of those gone to bliss, the tool for leading beings, that very strong mind, a strength that human beings have gained. That path has not been found by gods or nagas, nor by anti-gods, not by Garudas, Vidyadharas, Kinnaras, or snakes. Furthermore, although some gods of the desire realm with strong habitual tendencies from having previously trained on a path on a human basis are suitable as a basis for seeing the truth for the first time, it is impossible to attain the Arya path for the first time on an upper realm basis. However, as explained before, the desire realm gods are said to mostly be an unfree state, and therefore this is not best as a basis for attaining the path for the first time. Again, inhabitants of the continent of Uttaragura are unsuitable as the basis for vows, which is why the basis of the other three continents are praised, and among them especially the inhabitants of Jambudvipa.